of the scripture of the day is actually in two sections. The first one is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. This follows last week's lectionary of the story of Elijah in the wilderness, where he had been driven away to the wilderness and in hiding, and there was an earth, the wind, and the fire, and finally in the silence, God met Elijah. And at that point, he sent him out. He said, there are 7,000 believers. You need to go to them. And this is where we pick this up. So Elijah sent out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. In the next section of our reading today, we actually move into 2 Kings, the second chapter, and this picks up from there. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know today that the Lord will take your master away from you?" And Elisha said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho sat near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know today that the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, and they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on the dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Elijah responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other. And Elisha went over. When the company of prophets who were at Jericho saw him at a distance, they declared, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." They came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll take two, please. Make that a double. She has twice the energy I do. Buy one, get one. Double dressing on the side, please. How many phrases do we use to get more than our expected share of whatever we are receiving? It's pretty common practice these days to somehow finagle a double or even a triple share of what is considered one portion or one normal allotment of any desired item. But there's also something in me that raises my eyebrows at the audacity of Elisha to ask for a double portion of Elijah's spirit during his life. During this, the transition time of leadership between these two early Old Testament prophets. Elijah says in verse 9 of the second reading, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." And Elijah unabashedly says, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Perhaps this was a wistful moment of wishful thinking on Elisha's part, and even Elijah's response seems a bit far-fetched. He said, "Well, that's a pretty tall order, but I'll tell you what, if you see me when I go, you'll get your wish. But if not, then no." But I do not think that the writers of the Old Testament were in the habit of recording moments of idle jocularity between these two pillars of Hebrew history. But even so, Elisha's request seems either very selfish or perhaps self-deprecating, and that he felt unworthy to take over the work of being a prophet with all those nasty kings that were ruling the country. In my very humble opinion, I think the second was probably the closer analogy. He was probably seeing the hard work ahead and just knew that he had some extra reinforcement in the spiritual realm. I think that Elisha was dead serious when he came out of his mouth. Seemed preposterous. But let's unpack the story to find out where he was coming from. The first passage I read was actually the first reading of the lectionary for today, as I said, just the three verses that describe the calling of Elisha by Elijah. Elisha was sought out by name as a person that God commanded Elijah on Mount Horeb to anoint as his successor. While he was not anointed at that time, Elisha was presented with the mantle of Elijah as the seal of his succession, and he was reported to have informed his family, killed all 24 oxen, and had a huge community farewell feast. And then he left them to become an apprentice or a servant to Elijah. From there, they both basically drop out of the picture as King Ahab dies and is succeeded by King Jehoshaphat in the kingdom of Judah, King Ahaziah, who is the king of Israel. And as we move into 2 Kings, Elijah is back in the news proclaiming the sovereignty of God. He laments the godlessness of Israel and sending fire down upon regiments of the king's men from their unbelief and condemning others to die. We only assume that Elisha has been with him, but now we enter our second scripture passage for today, the second chapter of 2 Kings, where it immediately states that Elijah is about to be taken up into heaven himself. Spoiler alert. So when we have the description of the events leading up to the grand finale, here we are. But it's almost like this next narrative is running in a loop. The exact same dialogue occurs, but in three different geographical areas. In Gilgal, Elijah, stay here. Elisha, as the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you. In Bethel, the company of prophets, their colleagues and friends chime in, saying to Elisha, hey, you don't know what the Lord is going to take Elijah from you today? Elisha, yes. Keep quiet. Elijah, stay here. I'm going to Jericho. Elisha says, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And in Jericho, the prophets knew the word of the day about Elijah, and they were also told to keep silent. On to the Jordan. Same dialogue. Stay. I will not leave. And they were told to be silent. At this point, Elijah performs one last miracle that displays the Spirit of God within him and within his power. Elijah's mantle is rolled up, striking the waters of the Jordan River, and they part for the spiritual leader and his successor. It is here that Elijah stops to inquire of Elisha of any last requests. And it's also here that Elisha makes his bold demand. He has been led. He followed. The waters have been parted by Elijah's mantle. So he makes a bold demand. Elijah replies of that demand with very cautious wisdom, saying, that's a very hard request to fill. But if Eliza, if you are able to see my exit from this world, you will receive your double portion of spirit. And so we all know that Elisha did exactly see this spectacular divine escort to heaven for his mentor, Elijah, with the horses and the chariots. We also know that Elisha was close enough to this spectacle to find the mantle, the powerful symbol of the leadership and the spirituality, and the very item that he wore momentarily when he was called into the service of the Lord by Elijah himself. What was this? Was this the double measure that he was looking for? Did Elijah know that Elisha would follow him? Elijah knew that he would be leaving this world, and perhaps he wanted Elisha to see so that he could verify to the company of the prophets and to the world. Some commentators would ask, was Elijah testing Elisha earlier, telling him to stay away? Was he fearful of how he would die and did not want to endanger Elisha? There seems to be no definitive answer for those repeated directives to stay away, as well as the repeated appearance of the company of prophets for whom it was common knowledge that Elisha was not long for this world. What we can glean as readers today of this repeated verbatim scene is that Elisha's allegiance to both his teacher and to his God was absolutely unwavering. As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. Times three. And that's the one clue that we have about Elisha's faith and his allegiance. He loved Elijah like a father, and he was faithful to his God. That in itself is a great beginning for anyone to receive a good dose of heavenly spirit. The fact that Elisha referred to Elijah as his father when he was being taken away also gives us a clue as to the double portion question. The laws of Deuteronomy dictated that the firstborn son be granted a double share of any inheritance. Perhaps Elisha was simply claiming his place as Elijah's surrogate son, and with it claiming the richness of the spirit that Elijah possessed. So, did he get it? Well, the sacred mantle was left for him, and he very soon put it to use, separating the waters of the Jordan, demonstrating the spiritual power that he had inherited. He soon grew into the mantle by becoming the leader of the company of prophets. And unlike Elijah, he strove for harmony with the kings in the land and became an advisor to many of them. Elisha performed many miracles, but they were focused on the needs of the people from all levels of society rather than Elijah's fiery miracles of destruction and attack in the name of his God. He was a much more approachable prophet in that he associated with people from all walks of life and advocated for the poor and the unhealthy. So, yeah, one might say he received a double portion of the Spirit. But back to our very first premise. Can we ask for double spirits, but double portions of Spirit like Elisha? And I would say, of course we can. We do it at least once a week here when we call on the Holy Spirit to be with us in worship. Because actually, when we call for the Spirit to be here, it is a misconstrued request, though, because the Spirit is already here, and that might be the critical point. When we ask the Spirit to be present with us, we are inherently assuming that it's not here and that it is just not true. The Holy Spirit is with us always, at all times, in all situations. We are just acknowledging it to be closer. The Old Testament fathers and mothers knew of the Spirit that was with them, and they just knew it by other names. So when we ask for the presence of Spirit, we are in effect asking for double portions of what is really a part of our innermost being, and focusing upon the power that can be harnessed and directed outward in our quest for godly lives that honor our identity as children of God. Our quest that honors us as followers of Christ. So when we invoke the power of the Holy Spirit, we are really taking on and affirming a commitment to use that gift to its true potential in our lives and for that moment. The presence of the Holy Spirit is a gift from God, given freely and abundantly and without any request. But when we do ask, yes, we should, on a daily basis. When we do ask, it simply is set out our hearts and minds to the task of living out our mission as disciples of Christ, however that presents itself to us every single day and every moment. God grant us a double portion of your Spirit. Let's pray. Most gracious, most powerful God, God of the prophets, God of our Christ, God the Father, we ask now that you will bring to us a double helping of your Spirit. As we go about our lives, as we go about following Jesus Christ, as we go about fulfilling your plan for us, we know that our Spirit is within us, and when we ask, we just ask for that reassurance and that acknowledgement that the Spirit is there. Bless us, bless this congregation in the future ventures. Give us a double helping. In your name we pray. Amen.